Thank you, Cindy. You still here? Oh, thank you. That was an awesome song. I know the Lord inspired you to write that because I believe Jesus is coming home too. And in fact, it's in that very vein that we have this messages from the prophet Jeremiah in the first place. There we go. Don't you love messing with your sound people? Monty says, no. No, you don't want to mess with your sound people. But anyway, it's great to be here to worship with you on this special day that God has prepared for all of mankind. And here we are together to worship God, to say praise Jesus for saving us. Amen. So, as we continue in this series in the book of Jeremiah, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we discover in the book of Jeremiah the day that changes everything, I just pray that you would speak through me today, that you would be with every heart here today, that you would be preaching in their hearts, and that you would help me in my weakness. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, have you ever forgotten something? You've forgotten something, and it resulted that the thing didn't turn out too well. You know, most of us, we would say, yeah, like my son, you know, I made him breakfast this week. It was hash browns, and when I put it on the table, it was very clear that he was not happy with it because there was something missing. Daddy made it, and so as a result, it didn't have that secret ingredient that it normally has. And, you know, most of life, when we forget something, it doesn't really make that big a difference. But I want to share with you that there are some things that, if forgotten, have cataclysmic results. Let me give you an example of that. One example of that comes from history. Following World War II, 1950s is the time frame, the world watched as atheistic, socialistic communism began to spread throughout the world. And we saw how Russia was coming, gobbling up Eastern Europe, and how North Korea had become communistic, and Mao Zedong in China was brewing this communistic revolution. And one of the things that fueled not only World War I, World War II, but also the communistic revolutions that we saw in the last decade was something called, that came out of social Darwinism. Does anybody know what it was called? Well, the word for it was called imperialism. And imperialism, because it came from social Darwinism, was a belief that the stronger had the obligation and the right to go in and attack the weaker and take their stuff and kill them. And this is really essentially what was the driving factor in imperialism, why we saw this incredible widespread of communist nations going in, because they were atheists and they were evolutionists, they were going in and gobbling up other countries. And in the midst of this time, in the midst of the fact that the United States had just risen as basically the superpower in the world, there was the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State in the United States at that day, Dean Acheson. And he was going to make a special, national security speech at the National Press Club. And the date of that was January 12, 1950. And as he was making this speech, the purpose of course, was to warn the communist aggressors and to calm the fears of the people that in the world, that the United States was going to stand behind these countries and was going to oppose the rise of imperialism. And so as Mr. Acheson was giving the speech, he said, from Indonesia all the way up to Japan, we will stop this aggression. And of course, he left something out. He left out the country of South Korea. And almost immediately after that, emboldened by this speech, because he had forgotten, Sung-il, the leader of North Korea, the communist leader, declares war on South Korea and embroils the world again in another war. This was the Korean War, which tens of thousands of lives were lost. And so my point is this. there certainly are things that, if forgotten, have tremendous consequences. And this morning, what we're going to do as we look at the prophecies of Jeremiah one more time, we're going to look at one of those things. Something that had been forgotten, that if it had been remembered, would have changed everything. Something that, if forgotten, would cause cataclysmic consequences, not only to Judah, but to the whole world. So let's start. Get your Bibles open here, Jeremiah chapter 17, and we'll start by looking at the verse 19, and we'll look at really what's happening here. What's the context of what's happening in this message to Jeremiah at the end of time? And here's what it says. Thus says the Lord to me, go and stand in the people's gate, by which the kings of Judah enter, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter by these gates. So this message really was a message that was going to the heart land of the people of God. Go stand at all the gates of the city. Go stand where the king goes in and out. I want to make sure that everyone gets to hear this message. Now go there, Jeremiah, and preach this. And here's what he said. Here's really basically the heart of it. He said, thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives. That's kind of what that meant. Take heed for yourselves. And I want you to come back and remember that, where it says, take care for the sake of your lives. We'll come back and talk about that in a minute. And do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day, or bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And do not carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath, or do any work, or keep the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your fathers. Yet they did not listen or incline their ears, but stiffened their neck that they might not hear and receive instruction. So what we see here talking about the Sabbath is that this was a generational problem. You know, the people that were not keeping the Sabbath in this day had learned it from their parents and their parents and their parents. So this is a generational problem we're learning here. But now listen to what is said next. It says, but, verse 24, if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burden by the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then there shall enter by the gates of this city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David, riding on chariots and on horses, and they and their officials and the men of Judah and their inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall be inhabited for what? Forever. Now, as I was reading this text, several things popped out at me, big wows popped out at me. And the first big wow that popped out was the fact that for most of the history of God's people, they either mistook, forgot, or misunderstood what the Sabbath was all about. You know, Old Testament prophecy is just filled with evidence from Isaiah to Amos to Ezekiel about how people just saw it as a speed bump in their life, just something to get around or something to avoid, and they did not understand. In fact, even in the New Testament, with all the rules that the religious leaders had surrounding these traditions, surrounding the Sabbath, they misunderstood its meaning so much that it was over the Sabbath that they wanted to kill Jesus. But when the end came for Judah, the people had forgotten the Sabbath. You know, the imagery here is that, if you were to think about it this way, they treated the Sabbath just like you see everyone else in this community treating it today. That's how it was in God's people. Basically, you would leave the church, you know, and you'd go out in the parking lot, check out Fred Meyer. That's what they were doing. Check out all the other things that they were doing. That's how they treated the Sabbath in the days of Jeremiah. And what's interesting to me, though, is while we see the misunderstanding of the Sabbath, the promise that God made is really what surprised me. You see, what God is saying here is that the Sabbath is a day that could change everything. If they would just remember the Sabbath day, this is what his promise is. If they would return to a knowledge of who God was, remembering that Sabbath day, then despite the fact that they were in complete apostasy, that they were just living in total sin, worshiping idols, everything would change because they remembered the Sabbath. And it would change to a point where they would change in how they, the things that they were doing, to the place where they would go back and that David's throne would be forever if they would simply remember the Sabbath. And as I was looking at that, I said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that if you simply understand what the Sabbath's all about and you have joined yourself into it, that that could change everything? Could turn a nation of people that were totally sinners against the Lord, that were fallen and lost, and suddenly they would be uplifted and they would be there forever? How is this possible? My question as I was reading this was, how is the Sabbath a day that changes everything? How could that be possible? How could it be possible that it's so important today? Well, to answer that question, I realized that I needed to go back and find out what God's motivation was for the Sabbath. I couldn't understand how the promise could be so powerful that it could be a day that changes absolutely everything for a whole group of people, a whole population of people, without knowing the motivation. So I discovered there is a text in the Bible that shows what God's motivation was. Let's take a look at it today, and let's see how the Sabbath is a day that changes everything. So let's go ahead and we'll look at this text. It's Exodus chapter 31. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, we're going to stay there the rest of the time. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13. And here's what it says, Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13. Here's what it says. It says, "You shall keep my Sabbaths," and it's specifically speaking about the seventh day Sabbath, okay? You can find that in the context. "You shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, given in order that you may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you." Now, what I have discovered in this text that is so powerful and exciting that I really wanted to share with you is that the seventh-day Sabbath is really a day that changes everything, and it's found right here in this motivation for God to give it. And to help you remember what this motivation is that's found in here, I've used an acronym. So you can write this down. The acronym is the word sign. So all you have to do is remember what each of these letters means, and you'll have the total motivation for God's Sabbath. And once you understand that, guess what? The seventh-day Sabbath for you will be a day that changes everything. So let's start. So we're going to look now at the first letter and the first word, a sign, and the letter is symbol. Write that down. Symbol. The letter is symbol. So let's take a look at that idea. Sabbath is a symbol of a greater reality. It says in the text, "You shall keep my Sabbath, for this is a" what? What is it? A sign. That's right. In the Hebrew language, the word sign is, it's the word ot, I believe it's how you pronounce it. But it is a word that always means that it is a sign, is a symbol of something that is, it's a greater reality of what it's part of. It's a symbol of something that's a greater reality that it's part of. And that's what a sign is. Now, the best way to understand that is to think about a flag. How many of you know what the flag means? You know, here we got two kids on the 4th of July. But a flag is a perfect illustration of a sign in the Old Testament. It's a perfect illustration of a symbol that has a greater reality. The flag of the United States, or any country for that matter, encapsulates what? What does it encapsulate? It encapsulates the whole history and the origin of that particular nation. July 4th, we celebrate our origin, our nation's origin. Isn't that right? In fact, there was a man named Henry Ward Beecher. He wrote this. He said, "Our flag carries American ideas, American history, and American feelings. It is not a painted rag. It is a whole national history. It is the Constitution. It is the government. It is the emblem of the sovereignty of the people of the nation. Isn't that right? That's what a flag is. When you see the flag flying, you see a symbolism of what all the nation stands for, of what its origins and everything about it. When you look at the flag, you say to yourself, and some kid comes up to you and says, "What are those stars up there for? And what are them stripes all about?" What would you tell them? Well, let me tell you the story about the history of our country. It encapsulates the whole thing in the symbol of the sign. Now, here's why I'm sharing this with you. In the same way, the Sabbath is a symbol of part of a greater reality that's summarized in the fourth commandment. Let's read it. Exodus 20, verse 11. It says, "For in 6 days, the Lord," what? "Made," thank you for speaking up. I appreciate that. "The heavens and the earth," right? "The sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Okay, did you catch that? See, the Sabbath is a symbol of what? It's a symbol that connects us. You know, just as a flag connects us to our founders, the Sabbath and the history of our country, the Sabbath connects us to our Creator and all of human history. Did you hear that? From Adam to Christ, to the earth made new, the Sabbath connects us with all of biblical history. Do you see that? You see, the Sabbath connects us to the Creator who inspired these texts. The Sabbath is the one that connects us to the Jesus who is the Lord of the Sabbath day. You see, the Sabbath is a symbol that connects us to all that we read in the Scriptures, to all of human history. It is a symbol of our heritage because it takes us back to our origins and it talks about our history and our destiny. The Sabbath encompasses all. It's like a flag that's created in the fabric of time that connects us to our very destiny and the desires of Jesus for us. And when you understand the Sabbath that way, it changes everything. The Sabbath is a symbol. All right, let's look at the next one. Intention. I stands for intention in this thing here. I is intention. What is the intention of the Sabbath day? What was God's intention? Well, it's right here in the text. God's intention of the Sabbath: "You shall keep my Sabbath, for this is a sign," that's the symbol part, "given in order that you may," what? "Know that I am the Lord." And that word Lord there, by the way, is a tetragrammaton. It's the personal name of God. And it's found throughout the Old Testament, starting in the book of Exodus. And so, "You will know that I am not any Lord." I'm what? The Lord. "You will know that I am the Lord." You know, clearly stated in this text is the fact that this day that you and I are celebrating right now was created with one intention that we would know the one who created us. You know, all throughout history, from Noah to today, it's clear that humanity has become confused when it comes to knowing the one who created us. Throughout most of our history, people have worshipped the creation more than they have worshipped the Creator, the one who made the creation. I mean, we see it in biblical history. We see it, people who, even today, who worship the sun, the moon, the stars through astrology. They worship images and idols all around the world, even today. Paul warns that these images and idols are actually demons that they're worshiping. But the point here is very clear. You know, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says that there would be false what? Christs. John says in John and 1 John, he says that the Antichrist, which means one who replaces Christ, is coming and his spirit is already here. My point's very clear. Throughout most of our history, we have failed to actually know who it was that created us. Instead, we've always gone to looking at something else, even the most subtle ways. For example, the idea of pantheism, which means that you believe that God is in things, like God's in here. Right? It's in the building. Or God's in the flower. Or God's in you, the same kind of way. Not Christ in you or the Holy Spirit in you, but God literally is in you. And that's the whole basis of the New Age movement, which unfortunately Christians fall into that as well. We have failed as humanity to actually know who God is. And we've gone off to worship the creation rather than the Creator who made it. And in the face of all this deception, in the face of all this distortion about who God is, there is a symbol. There is a symbol that points us to the source of life and love. It points us to the Jesus of the Bible. And that symbol is the Sabbath. If you want to know who Jesus is, if you want to know who God is, if you want to make sure that you're not deceived, guess where you go? You go to the Sabbath that Jesus created, that Jesus made holy, that Jesus set apart, and you are on the right foot. You know, I'll tell you how sad this really is for me personally. I will never forget a ministerial meeting that I had in Dodge Center, my last district, where I was part of this ministerial meeting, and we had pastors from all the different churches that were in the community. And one day I went to the meeting, and there was a guy who came in, and he really wanted to tell us about evolution. And as he finished talking about evolution, he said to us, frankly, he says, you know, evolution is basically atheism. I said, you're right. And all the pastors were looking around, and then so he leaves, and we started talking about it, because I knew some of these pastors believed in evolution. And so I said, did you know? And I opened the Bible to Matthew. Did Jesus believed that he created the heavens and the earth 6 days? Matter of fact, he even mentions marriage in here. Did you know? And I went and showed him these texts. And one of these pastors looked at me straight-faced. And he said, Jesus was mistaken. See, the intention that God had for the seventh day was that we would avoid that kind of deception. And the only way that you could ever know for certain that the God that you are worshiping is not some other God or some God made up by the minds of men, the only way you could ever know that, by the way, we're going to be studying that in our class over here, pastor's class next week, we're going to start on that. The only way you could ever know is by the seventh day. Because when you come in here to worship God, when you enjoin yourself to God's Sabbath, you're enjoining yourself to his intention that you would know him as creator. And that's why he did it. You know, one of the biggest mistakes that's ever been made over the course of history is the belief that you could take the Sabbath and make it a copyrighted trademark of one specific group of people. Well, that's theirs. It's their copyright. It's their trademark. What a mistake. See, the whole purpose behind the Sabbath is missional. It's mission. The whole purpose behind the Sabbath was to introduce the world to their Creator. And if the children of Israel would have just done that instead of not listening and following the world, it would have changed everything. If we would do that, instead of following the world, it would change everything. Because the Sabbath's intention is always to point us to our Creator, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And so when we know that the Bible tells us that the Sabbath is a day that could change everything. Everything. Okay. So, Sabbath, sign. It's a symbol. It's a symbol that unites us to all of history. Its intention is that we would know the one who created us without a doubt, no deception, and we'd stop worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. But now let's look at the third part of that symbol, sign, and that is the word gift, G for gift. Let's look at that for a moment. Sabbath is actually a gift. You shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign given in order that you may know that I am the Lord that what? Sanctifies you. You know what the best way to think about being sanctified in respect to the Sabbath is? The best way to think about it is to think about your birthday. Not your first birthday, but your birthday. Let me ask you a question. How many of you had anything to do with your birthday? Anybody here? I was kind of looking for... There's one. I knew there's one in every crowd. So you had something to do... Oh, I see. You were there. No, what was it? You were there, yeah. Okay. For most of us, we have absolutely nothing to do with our birth. Somebody else birthed us, isn't that right? Who's that? Who do we call that? Mother! By the way, next Sabbath begins the Mother's Day weekend, right? So don't forget your mother. But the point here is that on your birthday, the day you were born, you didn't have anything to do with it. You just came out, there you were. Happy birthday. And then what happens? Every year, on that day, it comes around, you are blessed by it, aren't you? It's a blessing. Every day, it comes around, and as you grow older and older, it commemorates, what does it commemorate? Your what? Your origin, right? And when you join yourself in that day, you join yourself in the blessing of that day, right? I'm remembering I was born. Here I am. And people who know you, like you, will come up to you and say, happy birthday. You're a blessed guy today. And they may even give you a present or send you a card, right? And so our birthday, think about your birthday as you think about that. In the same context, the word Sabbath, the word sanctified, when Jesus says, I'm going to sanctify you in this day, is that what happened was, is that in the beginning of creation, God set the Sabbath apart. He sanctified it. He made it holy. In fact, we can't make it holy because it already is. He made it holy. And he created this day for us to observe and to join in. So when you think about it as a Christian, you could never ever be accused of works when it comes to the Sabbath. The only thing you could ever be accused of is remembering. Let that sink in. You see, because just like your birthday is a gift to you every year, the Sabbath is a gift to us every week. It comes whether we enjoin ourselves to it or not, because it came from God. It's God's time. It's God's day. But by celebrating it, just like celebrating your birthday, you're celebrating creation order. You are stepping into God's cathedral in time. You are being sanctified and blessed by the God who sanctified and blessed the day, just like your birthday. You know, and think about it like this. If it was your, let's say that you had a family member, or maybe there were two sisters and they hated each other, fight all the time. And one sister comes to the other one and says, you know what, I'm going to end this right now. And she sends the other sister a gift. And the sister says, don't show me that gift. Take it out of my house. Right? I don't want the gift. See, the Sabbath is like a gift given to humanity. But when we refuse it, it's like refusing a gift that was given for our benefit. You're saying no thanks to the present. Well, who are you really saying no thanks to? You're saying no thanks to the God who gave it. And see, this is the point. The Sabbath is a gift. It's this, remember this word sign? It's a symbol, and there's an intention behind it, that we would know the Lord. It's a gift. So in other words, you can't work yourself into it. You can only receive it. right? Because God's the one who provides it. We didn't provide it. You know, we don't provide the Sabbath. God provides the Sabbath. We only enjoin ourselves with God, and as a result, we're sanctified by the gift. But here's the last part of the word sign, and I believe this is very important because I think this is all part of the picture, and that's the word neglect. You know, the last motivation in this Sabbath as being a sign is the idea of neglect. Because the Sabbath is a gift, you can actually neglect it. Isn't that right? And we can neglect it as a whole people. But what's the consequences of neglecting the Sabbath? Well, let's take a look here. The consequences of neglect is this. It is a loss in the knowledge of who God is. The loss of the knowledge of God. You know, Jesus in John chapter 17, verse 3, have you ever heard that famous prayer that he made? He said, this is what? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And here's the problem. When we choose to neglect the Sabbath, eventually what will happen is we will stop. We will move away from the true knowledge of who God is. I guarantee it. Think about Jerusalem. Remember the beginning of Jeremiah's preaching. He said in verse 21, it says, take care for the sake of your lives. See, the Judah at the end of time is an awesome illustration. Because what happens? Sabbath is tied to eternal life because it's through knowing who God is, you're kept away from what? What's false. See, the problem with Judah at the end was that they were convinced that they knew who God was, but they worshipped him as an idol. They worshipped idols. They worshipped other gods. And they didn't believe. They just thought God was one of many gods. And as a result, they followed these pagan customs and traditions. Their whole life changed because everything in the Ten Commandments went away. You can read in Jeremiah. They were people who were covetous. They were people who were wicked. They were people who were murderers, who were people. And they believed that all these things were just fine when they took their children and they murdered them because they had lost the knowledge of God at the end. I'm telling you, friends, neglect has consequences. The consequence is that you lose the knowledge of who God really is, and the result of that is you eventually lose God. The Sabbath really is a day that could change everything. You know, someone once said that apostasy at first only appears to be a lane change. Do you ever think of that? Proverbs 14:12, by the way, says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, the sad thing is that in our day, just as in Jeremiah's day, there are people that believe the Sabbath is only is a sign, like a street sign, that you can simply change the sign if you want to. Or you could change, or you just ignore it like we do so many street signs. But you know, you can't ignore it without, you can't neglect it without the consequences of that neglect. You see, since the Sabbath is God's symbol, God's intent, God's gift for humanity, neglecting it is like renouncing your citizenship, isn't it? It's like taking the flag that symbolizes your origins and your purpose and burning it or desecrating it. You know, I was thinking about back in the days of the communist rise of the communism and what was happening in those days. Oftentimes, the communists would burn the American flag. And what that was doing, just like the radical Muslims do today in other countries, or people do in other countries, they would burn our flag. Really what they're saying is we hate everything you stand for. Isn't that right? And what happens is eventually people who neglect the Sabbath will hate everything that God stands for. It'll be a great deception. And I'm going to share with you that implicit in the destruction in Noah's day, implicit in the destruction of Jerusalem that we're reading about right now, and implicit in the destruction of Babylon and the world when the end comes for us, is this one thing. They lost the knowledge of who God really was. And that's exactly what prophecy says is going to happen. You know, I'm going to read to you two prophecies. They're probably the most powerful prophecies in history. And the first one is Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 7. You know, at the book of Revelation, we find chapter 13 and 14 are like bookends, mirrors, and chapter 14 ends with the second coming of Christ. And so here we find one side that's totally deceived, and the other side, you've got this message from God. And the message from God is being transmitted by these heavenly messengers throughout the earth. Three angels. And the first one says, "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come." You know, we're living at the judgment hour. And then it says this, powerful message, "and worship him who," what? "Made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of waters." You wait till you see where I'm coming from. What's this telling us to do here? Go back to what? Go back to the symbol, right? Go back to the symbol of our origin. What's the symbol of our origin? The Sabbath, right? In fact, this is almost a quotation from the fourth commandment. It's telling us, guess what? The last day people living at the end when Jesus is about to come, are going to be living in a world that doesn't know God as the Creator. Simple as that. But there's more evidence. Think about the Church of Laodicea. You know, oftentimes scholars look at the Church of Laodicea as a panorama of church history, the last one being this Laodicean church. And look how Jesus begins the message. It says, "To the angel of the church at Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now, Jesus is pleading with a self-satisfied religion that doesn't even have him inside their church. Now, these churches may be saying, they may have great praise bands, they may have great sermons, they may talk about Jesus. But Jesus is not there. Jesus is outside. Hey, okay, I'll cool it. Because they have lost the knowledge of who God really is. You know, the greatest human desire that we have is to be connected with our past, to know where we came from. But when the world decides, and this is, by the way, this is an end time event. Don't think for a minute that Darwin or the rise of the French Revolution, the atheism that came out of it, and all that happened is an accident. These are end time events. So when world leaders decide that our existence is simply random accident, skid mark in evolutionary time, the results in these end days is Hitler, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot, other mass murderers. It's the result is fragmentation of people as they crawl over one another for the survival of the cruelest or the most selfish. And don't we see that with Wall Street today? Could there ever have been a bigger sign for us that we're living in that day than the greed and the corruption in our world? But what's really sad is that the Bible tells us in prophecy that it'll be the Christian church that will leave the Creator. Do you realize that the majority of Christianity today, the majority numerically of churches that are led by leaders, those leaders are evolutionists. They've left. Like this Lutheran church back here. They're gone. Clearly, this is a loss of the knowledge of God, isn't it? And you think about these churches that there's just more than one. There's a bunch of them. The majority of Christian sects today have united their understanding of God with pagan atheistic theory of Darwinian evolution. And guess what? They changed their knowledge of God way sooner than just that. It happened way back in the 2nd century, 3rd century, and on, when we started incorporating pagan philosophy with Christianity. But I want to say this. This is why I said the Sabbath is a day that changes everything. I want you to imagine I want us all to imagine something in our minds for a moment. Imagine that right now, everyone in the world knew the Jesus, the God of the fourth commandment. Everyone in the world, all of them, they all saw the gift and they all said, let's join it. I'll accept it. You imagine what kind of world we would have? Because once they knew who God truly was, then they would be forced to go to God's word and they would see what God really wants for us. And there'd be a world converted to Jesus. There'd be a world converted to a creator God. There'd be a world of love, people trying to change the way they behave. This is the reason why Jeremiah said, it prophesied to them that if you would just do this, you'll never, ever, ever have a year that you don't have a king on the throne. It'll be there forever because you know who I am now. Did you know that the prophet Isaiah in chapter 66 tells us there is a day coming that will happen? But that day, unfortunately, is going to be in the new heavens and the new earth. But now, I want you to imagine this. Imagine the result of everyone but a tiny remnant of people on this planet neglecting the Sabbath. I want you to think for a moment of all the deception that Satan can come up with to distort not only the knowledge of God, but the knowledge of Jesus. Because now he separated us from the very flag that God presented for us. He separated us from God's symbol. And he instead will replace it with another symbol. You see, this is why the Sabbath is the seal of God's people at the end, and this is why the mark is the symbol of the power that will replace, that will seek to replace it. You see, that's their symbol. You know, in his famous prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus said that eternal life is inseparably linked to a knowledge of who God is, who Jesus truly is, who Christ, who he sent. The gift of the Sabbath, friends, the gift of the Sabbath unites us with that knowledge. That's why God gave it. It protects us from deception that's really raging all around us all the time. Deception of Jesus. Which Jesus are you talking about now? You know, after I left that meeting with those ministers, I wanted to look at them and I said, wow, I don't know the same Jesus they know. I can't imagine what Jesus they're preaching in their church. I can't imagine what's going on there. I could stand up there and say Jesus to you. What Jesus? The way you know for certain is you know the intention. You know God's symbol. You know God's intention. You know the gift and you accept it. Then you won't be caught at the end neglecting it. So friends, you know, as we study today, I want to make one appeal to you all that are sitting here today. First, I want to ask this. Is there anyone here today that has learned something new they didn't know about the Sabbath? Did you learn something to change your understanding about the Sabbath? Oh, praise God. There's the people here. They've gotten some, okay, praise God. Second one is, do you see God's intention? Do you understand it? Raise your hand. I understand God's intention for the Sabbath. I know what it is now. It's so that I would know who he is. Anybody here, do you see the need for, do you understand the problem with neglect? Do you see how neglect can lead you away from knowing who God really is so that we get to the place where you don't even know what you're worshiping? You can worship a Jesus, but it's the Jesus that didn't create the heavens and the earth. You can worship a Jesus, but it would be a Jesus that didn't, that isn't even powerful enough to save you. You have to be saved over and over again. You know, it's powerful that the Sabbath connects us with all of the history of this Bible. It unites us as a people created in the image of God. And so, my next question for you is this. How many of you feel with the power of the Sabbath that it can change everything? Are you willing now to be more missional about sharing it? After seeing that it's God's symbol, it's not my symbol. It's not a copyright trademark of some little group on the planet. It's a symbol given for humanity. You understand that its intent is to lead people to know who God is, the true God. So are you with me to share the message? Are you with me today? I want to ask for those hands that are with me to make the Sabbath a mission in Roseburg. A mission to share. Hey, listen, you know what? I know you know Jesus, but I want to share with you, you need to know the Jesus that I know. He's the Creator. Would you like to know Him? Let me show you how. Well, I'd like to pray then for all of you making these commitments today. Father in heaven, as we close this day, I'm going to pray especially for the hearts that are seeing the need to make the Sabbath a mission in the last days. A mission for a world that needs to see who you really are. For people who need to know you as you really are and accept the gift that you've given. Lord, I just pray that as we go forward, we would be a place that would be a light shining on the hill, a beacon that people could see, then know, wow, that church can show me who God really is, who the Jesus of the Bible really is. Father, I just pray that you would empower us to do that. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.